This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, there we go. Now we go to the hotline, and we welcome in from Deadspin at Dom Cosentino on Twitter. Dom Cosentino joins us right now on the show. Dom, thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Ken. It's a little late, but it's good to talk to you.
Oh, Dom, it's wonderful to talk to you, friend. And first off, I'm looking at Deadspin, and there is an article here from Friday, and it says, imagine how good the Ravens would be if Joe Flacco weren't awful. So you do not believe that Joe Flacco's elite, Dom?
I don't know. I don't think. I mean, he kind of once was, but I think the last few years he's been trending downward. And even tonight they've, you know, hung nearly 40 points on the Steelers, but he hasn't really done a whole lot. They've kind of been pounding the ball. He's thrown a few balls up for grabs that have been flagged. That kind of thing. He's a good quarterback, but he's sort of in a way, the weak link, I think, with the Ravens now, who are a pretty impressive team and not a team I think a lot of people are going to want to face as the season wears on here.
You know, Dom, it's amazing is that I look through these stats, and this is great stuff. This is on Deadspin here, and I see what you've written, and I'm not certainly not arguing, but it kind of opens my mind up to a different thought here, is that once we think a guy has arrived, for some odd reason, we always keep him at that level, with quarterbacks especially. Mm-hmm. And with Joe Flacco, what you're pointing out here, these are hard facts. I mean, he has not been that good over the last couple of years. Is it just because of the Super Bowl and kind of an outlier there that we put him up there and we refuse to take him off that pedestal?
No, I mean, the first 4 or 5 years of his career, he was very good. They went to the playoffs every year. And even in that run that Baltimore had in 2012 when they won the Super Bowl, he was sensational. He made some big throws. You know, they scored a lot of points in that Super Bowl, all of that. But he's kind of been trending downward since then. Now, there are some other factors contributing to that. The Ravens don't have a great receiving or pass-catching group, you know, particularly this year. He has had, you know, guys like Steve Smith, Torrey Smith, Dennis Pitta in recent years that he doesn't have anymore. But at the same time, just watching him, you see a lot of inaccurate throws, sailing the ball, jittery feet, that kind of thing. Whereas he used to be a guy who could stand in the pocket and make plays. And I just think that his performance has trended downward, as I said before, for several years now. He's not awful. Well, he's been awful this year, but he hasn't been awful tonight. But he's kind of been awful this year, but good enough for the Ravens to win games, if that makes any sense.
So even if they're winning now, and I mean 8-5 at where they were, man, this would be a huge jump. People were talking about firing John Harbaugh. If they go to the postseason, you still wouldn't take them seriously?
No, if they go to the postseason, I do think you can take them seriously because they play good defense and they've got, you know, a very good running game. Alex Collins has been terrific tonight. They've kind of out-physicaled the Steelers a lot in this game, although the Steelers now getting the ball back with all three timeouts here and a little more than 2 minutes to go. But, I think they're a team you can take seriously. I just wonder if Flacco's a guy that's going to, you know, win a game in a big spot the way he did the year they won the Super Bowl.
If it were to be New England and Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship, would you yawn or would you still be excited to watch?
I'd probably yawn because I don't see how the Steelers, especially with Ryan Shazier out, that's one thing that was especially noticeable about tonight's game, with him and even with Joe Hayden out, but especially Shazier with his speed. It's just something that I think the Patriots will easily be able to exploit because they can beat you so many ways, and they've done it to the Steelers time and again since Belichick's really been the head coach there in New England. So I don't think, you know, they play next week, but I think even if they play again in the playoffs, it's not going to be a game.
Dom Cosentino joining us from Deadspin. Carson Wentz goes down today. He might have a torn ACL. If he's done, is Philadelphia done?
I would have to think so. You know, I mean, Nick Foles has been on the shelf all year, and Wentz has just really been sensational. I mean, the Eagles have had a great season. They've designed a good offense that uses a lot of read option type stuff, and Wentz is sort of the perfect quarterback for that because of what he can do getting out of the pocket and doing things with his feet. Unfortunately, it was a play like that that caused him to get hurt today. if he's out for the year, it's going to be tough because you don't know, you know, the kind of dimension that Foles can bring. He won some games and was very efficient back in 2013 when he was with the Eagles. You know, will that be enough to get them through, you know, across the finish line in what is a very tough NFC this year? I would tend to doubt it, but we'll see. He did win the game today, though, after Wentz went down.
Yeah, he did, and that defense is still pretty good. I mean, you know, Minnesota's running teams down. I got to tell you, though, and I thought that they'd be dead again because they've been around 500, 8-8, 7-9 the last few years. New Orleans with that running game, I think I take them more seriously as the weeks go on because I would still take Drew Brees over what they have in Minnesota. So with the running game, I think I'd rather match with New Orleans or and say that New Orleans could come out of the NFC instead of the Minnesota Vikings.
Sure, the running game and the defense. I mean, the Saints, for several years have had a lousy defense, but this year they're much better on the defensive side of the ball. And I think, like you said, with the running game that they've got, if Kamara can come back from the injury the other night, they'll be okay. You know, the NFC is loaded. It's going to be a really interesting playoff lineup once we see how these teams match up and who gets to play who has the bye. All of that stuff's going to be determined over the next 3 weeks. But, you know, it's a very top-heavy conference. Then we could be looking at, you know, the Packers may have saved their season today and they may be getting Aaron Rodgers back soon. Yeah. And that could change the whole dynamic. I mean, the NFC is going to be really wild, but I think it's New England's conference to lose in the AFC, but the NFC is completely up for grabs.
I know that they're still on the outside looking in, but Green Bay did get that win. Do you throw up any protest to playing Aaron Rodgers through the last three games? Because it is a tough road ahead. Two out of three are on the road, and their one home game is against Minnesota.
Well, I mean, if he's healthy enough to play, you know, I don't see why they wouldn't put him out there at this point. That's what he's there to do. I mean, I just think it's all going to come down to the medical with him. If he's okay to go, they've got to let him do it because, with him in there, they're as dangerous as any team in the field.
What does Roger Goodell do? Because we go back from last week and now to this week with Tom Savage. And I don't know if there was a penalty there or anything, but what does Roger Goodell do to legitimize what penalties are enforced, what punishments are enforced, and kind of make it uniform down the line instead of all this inconsistency?
Well, they've got a protocol in place that's supposed to make it uniform. You know, it's kind of what I don't understand about what happened today because, you know, based on the play that where Savage got hit, he's supposed to get an evaluation. The question is whether that happened, you know, and whether he was able in the immediate aftermath of that play to pass the concussion evaluation. It is possible for a guy to immediately pass a concussion evaluation and then show symptoms later, but after a hit like that, it seems unlikely that would have happened. So I think, you know, if they're going to do any kind of look into this kind of thing, that would be the issue because if the protocol's followed, he's supposed to get an evaluation right then that would determine it. It's a question of, you know, what happened in that evaluation, if it was done, and why was he put back out there?
Well, can you correct me on that? Because, you know, I'm watching this in real time, and I see it on TV, and the first thing I say as a viewer, I'm going, how can I see it and they can't see it? He looks disoriented. He's walking around on the sidelines. He really doesn't know where he's at, and then you've put this guy back in the game. And then from what I'm hearing from you is that there is a possibility where he could look okay and then go back in and then after a course of time certainly look the way he did look.
That's assuming he was evaluated because the rules, the protocol and all of that, you know, mandates that he's supposed to be evaluated and approved by an unaffiliated, you know, neurologist, not a doctor that works for either team that's on the field, but someone who's unaffiliated to either team, you know, to take a look. Now the question is, did that happen? You know, because there could be a breakdown on the sideline somehow for whatever reason. You know, there's a chaos on the sideline, that kind of thing. It would seem unlikely that there'd be enough chaos in a situation like that where the doctors wouldn't have their undivided attention on Savage. But who knows? That's the kind of stuff that can happen, though, and we've seen it happen before. This isn't the first time a situation has happened where, you know, a quarterback or even any kind of player has taken an obvious hit to the head where he looks like he's been knocked out and he's either back on the field right away or comes back later. It is at the same time possible for a guy to pass the evaluation. I used to have a hard time believing that Savage, given the nature of the hit that he took, you know, someone was able to look in his eyes and say, yeah, but this guy can still go back on the field to play. That's what they've got to look at, though.
Dom Cosentino joining us on the show, Deadspin NFL writer. Follow him on Twitter at Dom Cosentino. Did you get a chance to see the Michael Bennett play yet?
I kind of I sort of saw the aftermath, I guess, if that makes sense, you know, just with the, some of the stuff being thrown on the field and that kind of thing, you know. But it looked like, I guess from what I understand of it, was that it was kind of a, you know, a cheap shot play on a kneel down by him.
Yeah, and I don't know, because I figure what is the penalty that served for that? Do we have more one-game suspensions? Is it a two-game suspension? When you factor in everything with concussions, with this type of thing going on, with Goodell versus Jerry Jones, and then with the anthem, and I know the anthem means something that's even more serious in sports, what type of year has this been for the NFL, Dom?
I mean, it's been a, you know, as far as the confusion on rules and discipline and the, you know, the way that those punishments are handed down, I think that that's been fairly typical. Obviously, the protests during the anthem and things like that are that, you know, well, honestly, they're not even new territory either. They happened last year. It's just the president weaponized it in September when he began tweeting about it. But they've been going on for a year and a half, and that's really the only thing that's changed. So, you know, it's and even the punishments, it's just the way the league has kind of handled the you know, its enforcement of the rule book. It's been scattershot where you're going to set a baseline by giving a guy like Rob Gronkowski a one-game penalty, and then when the stuff happens like Monday night during the, you know, a game, you know, in the game action, you know, you're gonna give Juju Smith-Schuster a game and also George Iloka, but then take it back. I mean, it just seems that, but the league has been confusing players, and I think Mike Mitchell gave voice to that this week. There's been a lot of confusion in how they enforce their rules and hand down punishments to players in situations like that.
What's the next move?
Going for a game-winning field goal here.
Well, did he get it? I can't give the play-by-play, but he absolutely got it. All right. Well, Dom, real quick, because I got like 1 minute left. What's the next move the Giants make?
The Giants? Boy, well, as far as this season or after the year?
Anyway, how can they get the thing back on track?
Well, obviously, I think they're going to, you know, go out and find a general manager and a new head coach. It could be Dave Gettleman. You know, that's some of the scuttlebutt right now, the former Panthers GM. You know, then it comes down to who they hire as a coach, and then obviously they're going to be in position to draft in the top three, so you got to think they're going to get, you know, their next quarterback of the future then. But I think it comes down to who they get as a GM first, and then all the dominoes will fall from there.
Dom, we thank you very much for the time, my friend. All the best.
Okay, thank you.
Dom Cosentino joining us, Deadspin NFL writer. Follow him on Twitter at Dom Cosentino.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.